You know, I do a lot of traveling now to a lot of different churches and speak. And over the years I've been in the church, I've heard a common complaint. And I'm going to talk about that today some. And the complaint is, I'm not getting fed. Man, that minister, boring. Same old sermons every week. Week in and week out. All he wants to talk about is milk stuff. I've been in the church for a while. I'm looking for some meat. I want to sink my teeth into some real meat of God's Word. And usually with this kind of attitude, most of the time what happens is you become bored, become disgruntled, and you start looking for the meat. And you can't find it where you're at. So then somebody tells you, oh, this minister we have, oh, meat every week. And so you start going to that church because you want the meat. The funny thing is, when you get to that church, you start thinking to yourself, where's the meat? I thought there was meat here. And again, you become disgruntled and bored, and you begin looking elsewhere for the meat that you're seeking. And you end up jumping from church to church, place to place, because you can't find that meat. Now, the reason you can't find it is because it's obvious you have an idea of what meat is. Because when you hear it, you know it. You can sink your teeth into it and you go, ah, that's what I've been looking for. But the danger with having that attitude of having an idea of what this meat is, you can spend your whole life looking for it and never find it. You can actually end up throwing away the nutrition because you're looking at the package that it's delivered in. And you throw away the meat and continue to look for it. So, obviously, this idea that we have of what meat is and what milk is an important factor in our lives, because if we have the wrong idea or we get this perspective in our head and we continuously look for it, we run in danger of never finding it and therefore never growing. So I am going to talk about today what is meat and what you should think of meat. Some of you may already have a good definition of it. Some of you may say, I hadn't thought of that before, and it may change your definition. If you would, turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. That's where this idea of meat and milk comes from. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So people read this and they say, you know, I've been in the church a long time. I'm past this milk stuff. I'm ready for the meat. Bring it on. And so they start looking for it. And a speaker gets up here and gives a sermon. That's not meat. That's that same old milk stuff again. What is it with these speakers that all they want to talk about is these subjects that are so basic that they're milk? I've been in the church a long time. Feed me. Give me a big turkey leg. I want to chow down on it. And so we look for that. And then when the minister gets up or a speaker gets up and they start talking about something, you go, oh, it's milk again. Next thing we know, we're dozing in the aisles. Or our mind is wandering. And it's like, if I can just suffer through this. And then we're watching the clock. Will it be over? Shut up. You've talked about this 50,000 times. Well, so what is this idea? What is it that people are looking for when they're saying meat? What is it that most of the time that people say, give me some meat? Most of the time what they're talking about is prophecy. I want to discuss prophecy. That's where it's at. That's the meat of God's Word. Give me the meat. Give me that prophecy. That's something that's interesting. Sometimes they're just looking for something that most people would consider a pet doctrine. But that's all they're about. If you don't talk about that subject, you're not feeding any meat, because this is something the churches of God need to hear. And you're not talking about it. That's the meat of God's Word, whatever that doctrine may be. Maybe it's just that you're looking for a new twist on something. You know, the new is the same subject that you've heard before, but you're looking for something new, some kind of new twist. You go, aha, I hadn't thought of that before. That's meat. And we have this idea and we get in our head, and if you don't hear that, you tune out everything else. If the speaker gets up here and begins speaking on something that is not prophecy, same old stuff. And you tune them out. So that's what a lot of people define as meat. So what do people define as milk? That's the basics. That's the easy stuff. That's the stuff we all know. Ask somebody, what's the milk of your belief? Oh, well, Sabbath, clean and unclean meat, holy days, tithing. Those are all milk subjects. Basic. I've known those since I came into the church. I don't need to hear about that anymore. Let's move on. Give me the good stuff. Well, I'm here to tell you today that those are the wrong definitions. That is not what meat is, and that is not what milk is. This idea that you have to sink your teeth into prophecy, that's not meat. It's something we find intriguing. It is an interesting subject. It's something that can catch our attention. It's something we don't hear a lot of. And so we think of it as being something new, something exciting, and we think of that as being meat. That is not meat. That is an intriguing subject. It can be exciting. But it's not meat that's being talked about here. So Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 tells us, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." So the first principles are what's referred to as milk. What are those? Let's go to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1 of Hebrews. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation," here's the foundation, "of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment." These are the milk. That's the milk. These six things, these basic teachings. Repentance from dead works, faith toward God, baptism, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now, let me put it to you this way. What's the first thing we do to become Christians? We repent. It's basic. You repent from your past life. You repent from those things that you were doing that were evil. That's your first step. That's your first block. Faith toward God. Why do you repent? Because Joe over here told you to? It's because you believe in God. You believe what you're told in the Bible. You believe what you're told in God's Word. You have faith in that Word. That's what starts you on the road of repentance, to repent because you know there's a better way. And the only way you can have that is to have faith in God and what He tells us. What's the next step? Making a commitment. Getting baptized. When you're baptized, you come out of the water and you have hands laid on you. Why? To receive God's Holy Spirit. For what purpose? To help us, to aid us, to guide us in our spiritual growth. That's what God gives us so that we're able to continue on building on this foundation that we're laying. The resurrection of the dead. Why do we do what we do? Let's be honest. We want in God's kingdom. That's why we're here. It's because of what we're going to get at the end. We see that there's something better than what we have now. And that we put these basics in place and build on this to be able to obtain that. To get into God's kingdom. Because we also believe that if you don't make it into God's kingdom, what's the alternative? Cease to exist. burn up in the lake of fire. Eternal judgment. These are the six basic building blocks of what? Our Christian lives. That's the basics. If that's the basics, then what's the meat? The meat is building on those found on that foundation. How do you build on that foundation? Verse 13 of Hebrews 5. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. That means we haven't been using God's word. We've just started. We've been living our own lives, doing it our own way. We now have this foundation built for what? To build on. To build what? Our Christian lives on. Building on that. How do we do that? Using God's word. Putting it into practice. That is why meat, the idea that people have a meat, is wrong. The meat of God's word is putting into practice God's word. I have yet to meet the perfect Christian. Now, maybe they're out there somewhere, but I haven't met them. I'm not perfect. I still need to grow. If I am not perfect, if I still need to grow, then what do I need? To put God's word into practice. In everything that I do, every moment of my life, I should be using God's word to build a godly character, to build my Christian life. Do you know what most people find to be the most boring sermon that you can give? Christian living. You start on a sermon about Christian living, and immediately people start, here we go again. He talked about that last week. Sermon he gave before that was about Christian living. I don't want that. I want the meat. Talk about prophecy. Talk about that intriguing doctrine. You've lived your life perfectly? Because if you haven't, then you need Christian living. People say, well, yeah, of course. That's, you know, we understand that. You know, we need to have Christian living. It's important. But that's not really meat. Why is that meat? I don't have to think about that. I have to really dig in and study on prophecy. On this new idea I heard about, I've got to really dig in. It's not just there in Scripture. You've got to dig. You've got to look at these definitions. You've got to pull out Strong's. You've got to really dig into it. That's meat. How can Christian living be meat? That can't be what's being talked about here. Those are interesting ideas. That is intriguing. A lot of times that drives us to study God's Word. But what does it do for your Christian living? You know, there's a couple of organizations, you might be surprised to hear, that have the two witnesses attending them. There's another organization that the guy that's in charge of it believes that he will teach the two witnesses. I'm waiting for them all to realize this so they can all get together. I don't see it happening. But I'm going to tell you right now, before you leave here today, I will tell you the names of the two witnesses. I have that information, revelation from God. I will tell you the name. So when you leave this room, you will go out of here knowing the name of the two witnesses. How does that get you closer to God's kingdom? Having that information? It does not get you not one step closer. It's interesting information. It's something to look for. It's something you can say, aha, it's coming true. And it serves you to, you know, I better get busy and build on those foundational blocks because, you know, I've been laying back and slacking off a little bit on my Christian living. I've not been applying God's word. But you know, where's prophecy? It's coming true. I best hurry up. That's what it does for us. It's a marker. Lets us know what's going on. But it does nothing for you to get you into God's kingdom. You can be an expert on prophecy. You can know when everything's going to happen. But if you don't build your Christian living, if you don't grow up spiritually, you're not going to get in God's kingdom. You'll be standing outside going, "But I knew when you was going to be here." And he's going to say, "But you didn't do anything I told you to do." It's applying God's word. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, going down to verse 19. "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's a marker for you. Our righteousness has to exceed that of the Pharisees. Go down to verse 44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute the brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Our righteousness must exceed the Pharisees, and we are to be perfect. In what? Our understanding of prophecy? Our understanding of pet doctrines? No. Our lives. The way we live our lives. Which, being Christians, we refer to as Christian living. If you're not growing spiritually, you're in danger of not making it into God's kingdom. If your Christian life is not growing, you're in danger of not making it into God's kingdom. Here you go. I'm going to tell you how to achieve Christian living, or I will give you the names of the two witnesses. You choose. Which becomes more important? We tend to forget that. Now, granted, sometimes it's hard to come in and sit down and listen to someone get up here and tell you what all you're doing wrong in your life. And to tell you what you need to do. Because every one of you out there, just as well as I do, know what we're supposed to be doing. But we don't. Because if we did, I would have met that perfect Christian. And the day I meet the perfect Christian, I'll stop preaching Christian living. Because there'll be no need for it. But I've yet to meet him. I've yet to achieve perfection in my life. I need all the help I can get. I need constant reminders each and every day. Let me ask you a question. Freddie got up here and asked for prayer requests. Now, I'm not going to make you raise your hands. But how many in the past have actually taken those names on that list and they've gone home and they've actually spent time praying for those people? Or do you let the names be called out and think, "Well, there they are, before God's throne, Freddie said the prayer, that's it. No need for anything else." I would hate to know the truth because I fear I have an idea of what it is. How much time do you spend searching prophecy? Searching on that pet doctrine, that pet idea, that unique twist that no one else has heard of, rather than looking for answers in the Bible as to the problems you have in your lives, that you have with loved ones, that friends have, so that you can counsel them, give them the information they need to overcome. You know, when we first started and we had an idea given to us of what God's truth was, that little seed that was planted, we became excited. And we searched the Scriptures. And we proved the things that people call milk, the Sabbath, the holy days, the dietary laws. And we searched those things out and we proved, you know, right there it is. I've never heard that before. And we were excited. What are those things? It's how we live our lives. Worshiping God. But somewhere along the way, we lose that because that becomes to us milk. Oh, I got the Sabbath down. I'm at church every week. And the holy days, got that down. You won't find a piece of pork in my house. Got them down. It's much more than that. It's how you treat people outside these doors. It's how you treat each other. And the day that I can walk into a church and don't hear about somebody making somebody else mad over a potluck dish, then maybe I'll consider changing a topic from Christian living to something else. Because too many times you walk into the church of God, people who are supposed to love each other, and they're fighting. Because somebody said something or somebody done something. That is not spiritual growth. That's spiritual infancy. And that is what we should hunger for, is that spiritual maturity where we don't have these problems. We can look at things and look out in the world and go, can you believe they're doing that? Boy, that's just unchristian. Do you know that people on the other side or the outside are probably looking at us and going, can you believe they're doing that and fighting over that? They're unchristian. And we're sitting here wondering, when are we going to get something on prophecy? That's what I need. If that's what you're searching for, then you may better look at your own spiritual growth and see where you're at. Because it's probably lacking. Because you've concentrated on that so much that you're forgetting about the fact that we're supposed to be Christians and applying God's Word and being perfect. But we don't. David, a couple years ago, I guess now, I told him I used this, I stole this from him, did a series, and most of you, if not all of you, will have heard these before. Some of you may not have. I'm going to use them anyway, because I think it drives home the point. Jeff Foxworthy's series, You Might Be a Redneck. David did a take on it called You Might Be a Pharisee. If you've lost an old friend because you got religious, you might be a Pharisee. If you refuse to shave the corners of your beard, you might be a Pharisee. If you're a direct descendant of Aaron and dress the part, you might be a Pharisee. If you pass your brother up on the freeway because you refuse to help him fix a flat tire on the Sabbath, you might be a Pharisee. If preparation for the Sabbath takes 48 hours, you might be a Pharisee. If you need a concordance to do word studies on pronouns, you might be a Pharisee. If you know you're a member of the only Church of God, you might be a Pharisee. If figuring out the name of God takes longer than 60 minutes, you might be a Pharisee. If your brother comes to you on the Sabbath hungry, but you refuse to feed him because you consider it too much work. If saying table grace in public is the way that you witness. If watching Mel Gibson's The Passion is a violation of the Second Commandment. If determining pork byproducts becomes a compulsive obsessive disorder. If your theological studies are on determining the depth of the sea of glass, if you agonize over whether Adam had a navel, if you inform everybody that you know, a minimal amount of the Greek and Hebrew language, you might be a Pharisee. If Christmas music makes you sick on the stomach, you might be a Pharisee. If you make Scrooge look like a philanthropist during the Christmas season, if you freak out because you find a crumb during the days of unleavened bread, you might be a Pharisee. If taking a sip of water on the Day of Atonement because of forgetfulness is equal to the unpardonable sin, you might be a Pharisee. If you know you're the Church of Philadelphia, if Lady Ocean means somebody else, if paganism and blasphemous are synonymous words, if it totally disgusts you to see your neighbor mowing his yard on Saturday, if setting up church services on the Sabbath is a violation of the Sabbath, I'll be talking to a lot of you after services. If you can't figure out when the sun sets, if you share the gospel of Jesus Christ but fail to mention Jesus Christ, if in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ you mention the words male phallic symbol and the origins of church steeples, you might be a Pharisee. If you have to consult with a CPA to figure out your tithe, if you can't find the true church to tithe to, you might be a Pharisee. If others don't measure up to your idea of being religious, if blind obedience appeals to you, if standing in judgment of others is fun, well, I take offense to that. If Sunday is a bad word, if you think the only commandment is the fourth commandment, if a good working definition of the gospel of Jesus Christ is Sabbath day, holy days, clean and unclean meats, if words like new moon, conjunction, equinox, round disc are a regular part of your vocabulary, if you find the question, if a fly lands in holy water, is the fly sanctified or is the water polluted, intriguing? If no one understands you, if any of these offended you, you might be a Pharisee. Now, we get a good laugh out of these, but do you know all these have happened in the Church of God? People who are supposed to have God's truth, these are questions and incidents that cause problems that people would look at and say, right there is your meat of God's Word. If the fly lands in holy water, is the fly sanctified, is the water polluted? You got to know that before you can get into God's kingdom. It's on the test. That's what people think. Because they treat those kind of questions as meat. That's the meat that people are looking for. Those kind of intriguing questions. I put it to you, how does that get you into God's kingdom? If it doesn't, I don't see how it can be meat. I don't see how that helps me overcome and to be perfect and to grow spiritually. My spiritual growth is how I treat you, how I live my life. Now, I don't want anybody thinking that I'm coming down on prophecy like it's a waste of time. I'm not saying that. I've always said that with prophecy and the things that we learn in the Bible that God reveals to us, we know the end of the story. I have no fear of what's coming. I know it's going to get bad. I know it's going to be horrible. I'm going to see things in the news that will turn my stomach and make me sick. But I know what the outcome is. I know what's on the other side. And that's what prophecy does for me. It tells me what's coming. But it doesn't get me through it. The thing that's going to get you through all that's coming is your spiritual growth. Remember the fruits? The fruits of the Spirit that we're supposed to develop, that we're supposed to have? It's those that will get us through these trying times. If you don't have that, it's going to be very hard to make it through. You may know what's coming. You may have the exact dates and the names of the players involved. But if you've not grown spiritually, you're going to have a hard time making it through all that. Knowing how it's going to go, knowing it's going to end, will assist you, but it will not get you through it. So what is the meat? Is not what the most important thing in your life is the meat? Is not growing spiritually, overcoming, growing to perfection, to get into God's kingdom, is not what important to you? That should be our focus. How to apply this book each and every moment in our lives. And yet we forget about that. Turn over to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Going down to verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. A lot of people who get stuck on meat, these intriguing ideas. I can speak Greek and Hebrew. Is why? Because I want to show off. I want to impress you. Come to me and I will tell you the name of the two witnesses. I will tell you the day and the hour where they'll be at. What street corner. Exactly what they're going to do. Come to me and I'll tell you those things. Because I want to be important. I want to be involved. I want to impress you. And the sad thing is, we are impressed. We are impressed by people who can come in and tell us all about prophecy and have all these ideas of how things are going to happen and what countries are going to be involved and who the kings are that will be involved. And we're impressed by that. And that does nothing for us. That does not get us into God's kingdom. But yet, so many people will sit and they will say, I'm not being fed because I'm not hearing about the subjects I want to hear about. I've not met the perfect Christian. And I am not a perfect Christian. I need all the help I can get in living my life according to God's Word and the way He wants me to. And whether you're offended or not, I look around in the churches of God and I see people just like me that need that help. And yet, I see so many sermons being ignored because people are looking for meat that is not there. They're jumping past the buffet of meat to the fluff of pastries. They're bypassing the meal for the dessert. And they're missing out on that nutrition. So in ending today, I ask you to think about what your definition of milk and meat is. And the next time you hear a speaker get up and start speaking, and your thought is, here we go again, that you think about God's kingdom and whether you really want to be in it.